Okay, so let's see. We had a lot of Mishalim. We had a huge medrash. Now we'll get a little bit of the end. Now, what we did was the Egyptians, we were in the middle of the action here. We had a long analogy about how a man lost his sheep in a herd of swine, and the owner of the herd refused to retrieve the sheep until the owner of the sheep, who wanted his shefela back, made quite a bit of problem. He destroyed the man's water supplies, he destroyed the habitat of the animals, etc., until finally he got his sheep back. So the same was with Moshe Rabbeinu, that Moshe said, went on a shlichus to Paro to take out the sheep of God, the people, the Bnei Yisrael. Paro said, "Who's God?" etc. And so Moshe reported back, as if God didn't know, but that's the way things are done. Moshe reported back, and they said, "Well, we're going to put the heat on Paro." So there came a makkah of dam, and that's where we were. The Egyptians couldn't drink. So Chazar v'Omar, Moshe Rabbeinu goes back to Paro, and he, with the word of God, Shalach ami, shikaris mein folk, send out my nation, v'lei rotza, Paro doesn't want to, ne veut pas, as we say in French. So Omar lei, heichon behem toroa. So Hashem says to Moshe, where do his flocks of animals graze? So Bamidbar in Vistanish, in the desert. So Sholach Aleihem Barad, Hashem sent down a hail, but a real hail of a hail. V'shiber kolet shelohem, and he broke all of their trees, he shattered their trees. And then, this is the destruction of the different huts that we had where the man kept the swine. V'sorah fesakol, and he burnt everything, because this hail was not regular hail. Shenemar, as it says, we read last Shabbos in the Parsha, Vayihi Borod, there was a hail, and there was Veish Mislakachas Pesecha Borod, there was a fire that accompanied the hail. Not exactly a normal lantern, a lantern of ice holding fire. Ve'achar kach, after that, Sholach Lohem Arbe, which is our parsha, Hashem sent the plague of the multitude of locusts. It's a shail if it was only one kind of a locust that was numerous and never matched, or there were different types within the species of locusts, Machlekes Rashi and Ramban. But in any case, he sent Arbe, ve'ochal kol yerek ha'etz, and did eat all of the vegetation of the trees. Oh, that was last week. I'm sorry. I'm off track. V'notal makloi v'soraf kol behemus. And he took his staff, and with that he came and he had smitten all the behemos. As it says, v'hinei yad Hashem hoya b'miknecha asher basada. The hand of God, as it were, is prevailing over, is predominant over all of the cattle in your land, in your fields.
Is the water a bit of a problem? It seems to be going with it, back to the Deborah after talking about the Barad.
Yeah, that's kind of funny. Here it's talking about Arbe. It said Barad, and then Arbe, and then it brings the Pasuk of Yad Hashem Hoya, which is by Deborah. It's kind of funny. Yeah, it's a Dever Kovid mode, is the end of that pasuk. So why he goes a little bit out of order, it's good you chap that. I was going to ask something very similar. Now why is it is it there? And why does he use the lashon of oraf, soraf, or then oraf kol behemus? Oraf means he chopped them in the back of their necks. So here, there's a suggestion in the Radal that maybe that connects this parsha with the end of the last parsha, where it says that the oldest sheep, you have the bechor of your donkey, redeem it with a sheep, and if you don't redeem it, you chop it arafto. So he says he used the term of araf to say that he struck their animals with a hot cruelty, because he said he used the lashon, the language that was used in the pasuk at the end of Parshas Bo, that comes after the Makos. But still, that's a little bit of an explanation. There's still questions you could still ask. Anyway, but still, he brings all the Makos, and Paro doesn't want to send them out. So then comes the final part, which we had in yesterday's analogy. After that, he took the son of Paro, his Bechor, and he captured him, as it says, Shenemar, Vashem hika kol Bechor. God had smitten every Bechor. At that time he said, like he said before, here is your sheep. So now in the Nimshal, it's saying what's relevant to Paro. He said, get up and leave. Rodaf achreihem. But Paro afterwards had a change of heart. It's in today's Parsha. And Erezeinoch Kalof, and he ran after the Jewish people till the Yamsuf. So what did Hashem do? Tefoso, Hashem grabbed him. The Chovsho Biyad Beno, and he captured him and put him with his son, which means basically he killed him, although according to many Midrashim, Paro himself survived. So it could mean that his force, the fighting force of his army, was taken. And here the Rashash mentions something that we know, that it was at that time when the army, I'm going to assume this maybe refers to his army, when it says Paro, is when the booty of the sea was taken by us, which was greater than the booty they took out of Mitzrayim. So basically, that is the schar of the bondage and of the taxes. We were compensated, which in the parable represented the price of the shearings and of the offspring that sheep might have produced during all of that period, as we learned yesterday. But Shenemar, he brings a pasuk, V'nir Paro v'chelo v'yamsuf. Hashem shook up Paro and his army, or chayil sometimes means army, sometimes it means wealth. Maybe here it means a little of both. He shook his army and his farmegans, his property, his wealth in the yamsuf. So hischil Paro omer, at that time Paro said, Ulevai loy shalachtim. Halevai, I wouldn't have sent them. Like we said before, after that man who apprehended the sheep, said, and he went through all that beating. He said, Halevai, I would have stood up, and everyone would have said, look, I defied this strong man. So Paro said, Alavai, I wouldn't have sent out the Jews, and then people would say, Re'eyish Omad Bidvorov, Shemeshalchan Hare Horgoy. So he says, look at a man that stands with his word. Even after he sent them, he's going to come and kill him. So what he's saying is, I would have had the high ground over here. Had I not sent them, so they would have said, well, look, here is a man who kept his word, that by not sending them, the Rashash says, I mean, this is what fits in. He said he's not sending them. So he's saying, Halavai, I would have stood by my word and not sent them. So he says, the Girsa should be Shalo Omad Bidvarav Shemeshalchan. So Hare Horgo, what's he going to do, kill him now? Havei v'shevet lagav psilim. There is a whip to the back or to the innards of the fools. Now, why is it called the whip? Lama ne'mar bohem shevet. Why is the word shevet used? So he says, Lefisha mikol makas harishonis lo hirgishu. They didn't feel that great a loss from the first makos, ad shehevi aleim es hashrin, until the shrin, the boils, were brought. Kevan shaloku, once they felt it in their body, Amru elu la'elu, then everybody said, now it's getting in our body. Hare makarod. Behold, this is really bad news. This is a bad affliction. So that's the shevet, means the whip, which is affliction that comes onto the body and not, and is not limited to the property of the individual or the elements around the individual. Could be, yeah, might be a rod. Yeah. Okay, that could be. That could be. Vein l'shin shevet el shrin. Shevet means shrin. That's the type of striking it is. Shekein iyov omar, iyov said, yoser me olai shifto. He should remove from me his shevet. Yeah, you're right, they translate shevet as a rod. Chosech shimt shifto, sparing the rod. Yeah. Okay, so yeah. I don't know if that's the reason, but when he talks, Eov said that the shevet, the rod, should be removed from me. Now the rod Eov had on his body, it says he was afflicted with boils. That's the whole sefer Eov. So lechach nemar, that's why it says in posik that we had earlier, the shevet lagav psilim, that there is the rod for the back of, or for the innards, depending how you translate gav, ksilim of fools, or of rishoyim, also depending how you define ksilim. Omar Paro, he said, Hare loko ami, v'horagaspini. My nation was afflicted, was struck. My oldest son was killed. Or he killed my oldest son. Varei bonav yitzim, his sons are going out. So kevan shesholchom, once Paro himself sent them out, so Kore Yisrael Kore, he began screaming out, vai vai, oy vei, ochen vei, exactly. So vai yehi is vai hai. Havei vayehi b'sholach Paro. There was a vayhai when Paro sent them out. He was afflicted and he had nothing left. He didn't have pride or ego that he could boast about, and he lost his own child in the effort, and he also lost the major part of his army. Right. Mm-hmm. So here I wanted to see a little piece that the Marzav brings from Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer before. It's relevant really to what we had before with Yitzchak Avinu, although we didn't have it so much about Yitzchak, but he seems to feel that it's related over here. Where is that? Yeah, so here is an interesting piece that was relevant in the Midrash earlier when we spoke about the Avimelech getting his punishment. So it said that it was a meseg lachamor, that there was a mesek sometimes can be something that's used as a sign. So although over here it was part of a bridle that stops a chamor, keeps it under control. So what happened is that how is Mesig Lachamor related to Avimelech? So I didn't really give a pshat, but I did raise a flag about that. So now we're going to see what the source is, that a Mesig Lachamor belongs to Avimelech. So there's a Pirkei de Rebbe Eliezer that Yitzchak, when he lived in the land of the Philistines, we read a little bit about it in Parshas Toldos, that he made a covenant with Avimelech, at Avimelech's request. So I'm going to read the Pirkei de Rebbe Eliezer. It's toward the end of the 36th chapter. So he says, V'yitzchak koras bris, the Marzav brings it to you. And that's how he connects Mesek Chamor to Yitzchak. We'll see. He says, Yitzchak koras bris, Yitzchak made a covenant im amei ha'aretz kishagor be'aretz plishtim. Or you can say im amei ha'aretz, with the nation. And when he left in the land of Plishtim, ra oisom shehofchu pneyem imenu, he saw that they turned their faces from him. They weren't friendly with him. So yotza b'sholem, he left quiet and peace and quiet. They don't want me, I'll go. But holchu achrav Avimelech v'chol gedolav. Avimelech and all of his dignitaries went and followed Yitzchak. So Omar Lohem, Yitzchak said to them openly, hafachtem pneichem imeni, you kind of gave me the cold shoulder, you turned your faces away from me, v'achshav bosem elai, and now you're coming to me? As it says in the Pasuk Shenemar, v'yomer aleyem Yitzchak. Yitzchak said, madua bosem elai usneisem oisi, why did you come to me? You showed me hatred. So then, etc. Then it says, "Vayomru." They said back, "Ro'o ro'inu ki hoya Hashem imach." We saw God is with you. Like I always say, we want the tiger on our team. So omru, they said, "Onu yodim." We know. They said like this: we saw God was with you, and to them that meant God will remain with you. So they said, according to Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, Onu yoidem, we know, Shakodesh Barcho Asad Litin Lazaracha es Kolha Aratsa Sa'elu. We know that the Almighty is going to give your descendants, your progeny, all of these lands. So, Kreisi Manu Bris, they said, let's, you know, pull the rug out from under. Establish with us a covenant, Shein Yisrael Yorshim Eseretz Plishtim, that the Jews are not going to inherit or conquer the land of the Philistines. So me'asa Yitzchak, what did Yitzchak do as a covenant? Now here is the point that's relevant that the Marzav refers to. Lo kacha ma'achas mimeseg chamor asher hoya rochev olav. He took off part of the wooden saddle of the chamor, one board of that saddle that he rode on, and nosan lo laos sheyehei beinom bris shvua, and he handed this to Avimelech as a covenant, in as if it's a sworn covenant. Then it says, uchshemolach David, when David Amelech was the king, rotsa lovo beretz plishtim, he wanted to come and conquer the Philistine land. But lohoya yochel ikones mipnei bris Yitzchak, because of the covenant of Yitzchak, atonisht kenta reingen, he couldn't go in. So what did he do? Ad shelokach mehem ois brishvuas Yitzchak, he was able to go in once he took the sign of Yitzchak's covenant, as it says in the pasuk, that vayikach David es mesek ha'ama miyad plishtim. It says he took that board, little board of the ama, or the little ama of the wooden saddle, from the plishtim, uchsiv, and then it says vayikonu plishtim, v'lo yochlu plishtim, the plishtim were humbled, and they couldn't anymore. So that's what he's referring to. That's why mesek lachamor, he said, the Marzav is telling us, is a reference to Avimelech, because that was really his connection, was that Meseg Lachamor. But in the long run, that covenant, even although this is learned before the fact when he took Sarah, but the reference to him is based on what eventually, subsequently occurred when he had the Meseg Lachamor from Yitzchak.
Because
he felt that under the circumstances, the bris was nullified. So, but they had something to show it was there. So the way to deal with that is you take the sign away and show, no, not that I'm abrogating the bris. The bris is a moot thing right now. It doesn't apply anymore. That's right. Yeah. Yeah. So you take away the ticket. You don't allow them entry. Yeah. Okay. We're still going. Okay. So let's see. Maybe I'll go a little further. We'll talk about a different midrash here that I want to find that has to do with the Shira. Yeah. This is in Parsha Chof Gimel, Maimer Yud Aleph. This will give us a little perspective, even in sometimes what we're saying when we're in davenings of Tehillim at times. If you all have it, Parsha Chof Gimel, Maimer Yud Aleph. Just came to mind. Kol Hashiros Shenemru Ba'olam Lishon Nikevus. The Shiros. Oh, I'm sorry. Are you still looking? I'm sorry. In if you have one like mine, it should be the bottom of 86. Two lines from the bottom in column 2. In 86. Yeah? So he says like this. Kol Hashiros Shenemru Ba'olam. All the Shiros that are said in the Olam really means in the Tanakh, all the universal Shiros are Lishon Nikevos. They are in feminine. Why? Lomar, it comes to teach you the following. Maha Nikeva Hazois Misaberis Violetis Vichoseris Violetis. Just like a female has a pregnancy, gives a birth, then is pregnant again and gives birth, kachin hatzoros bo saleim, the same way tzoros come on the Jewish nation. So the shiros, hoyu oimrim shiros, beloshen nekevos, they knew the shiros, beloshen nekeva, we're giving birth, we're out of one tzora, but we know we're going to come to another. That's right. Exactly. Yeah. That is the Sashira Hazos. Exactly. Yeah. Which will come to where it does say Shir. Sometimes Shiro lo Shir Chadash, Shiro la Hashem Shir Chadash. So that's what we're going to come to. What you're saying is exactly true. So, which means, if we do the math from what you're pointing out here, the math is you continue on and say this Shira was Fret Kriyas Yamsuf. But that wasn't the final rescue of the Jewish people. Right? We're going to have other rescues. We're going to go to the land of Canaan. We're going to have a Churban Bayis Rishon, Churban Bayis Sheni. So this Shira is not the rescue all or save all or for all Shira. So it's written in feminine, which is exactly why it was inserted over here. That's exactly the truth. It's also in other places, in Midrash, in Mechiltas, you have it.
I'm sorry, there's a connection between Shira and also a woman giving birth.
Right, because a woman giving birth can mean she's going to give birth again. It's in and out. She has pain now, after the birth things subside, but she can get, you know, expect again and again. This is the case with a lot of women give birth more than once. That's right. There'll be, this is a Yeshua for now. It's a Shira, but doesn't mean that I'm scot-free for the rest of my life. Lochach, he says, umdu therefore, not therefore, but he means subsequently, umdu bovel, bovel came later, that was one galus, modai media was another galus, yavan, the griechische, the Greek, were another galus, and finally Edom came, vishibdu es Yisrael, they put the klal Yisrael, ourselves included, into bondage. Avalosid lovo, but in the future, enot soros bo, there are no more oppressions or oppressiveness states. Shenemar, as it says, ki nishkechu hatsoros harishoynos, the first soros will be forgotten. And it says, at that time, uchziv, sosain v'simcha yasigu, they will, over sosain and simcha will overtake them, and then v'nosu yogan v'anocha is not quoted here, but anguish and anocha ziftsen, that type of groaning or yawning will go away. So ba'osa shah, when we're going to be singing la'asid lavo, or about la'asid lavo, omrim shir Lishon Zohar, then we say Shir in male, in masculine. Shenemar, as it says, Shiru Lashem, not Shira Chadasha. When we speak of the Geula Hasida, the final Loislezing, the final redemption, it's in masculine, Shiru Lashem, masculine Shir, not Chadasha, but Chadash. Yeah. We call it Shir Shal Yom, but some of those are about the Geula. Now, here there's a little bit of a commentary on, from the Marzav, that he says that the Shiros are Lesimen, it's a sign, Shelo Yisyaishu Min Apuranos. They shouldn't give up or think they'll never be subject to punishment. You're far from being redeemed. Now you had a rescue, but don't think that you'll never have see affliction again. Shemuchonim lachto lekabalonish ulehivosha. They have to be prepared, have a mindset that if they sin, that they will sin and get onish for it, and then have salvation. V'lomar od shira, and then they'll say a shira again. But shira achrona, the final singing, he who sings last sings best, that's b'loshen zachar, that's in masculine. Shelo yechtu od, then it means they won't sin again. V'lo yiyonshu, say v'lo nisht gestraft werden, they won't get punished. Then v'lo yomru od shira acheres. At that time, they won't have to say, or they won't have any other shira to say. The final rescue will be a shir in Lashon Zachar, in masculine.
I'm confused because in the morning, Asha Shir Moshe Nemeshua Shira says, I thought that's referring to Tikias and Mesim, so why would it use the word shira?
No. There, the word Yashir is a hint. It's a hint for Tchiyas HaMesim, because it says future tense, he shall sing. That's the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Shor lo nemar el ashirat. Doesn't say he sang, it said he will sing.
Yeah.
Right, so it's a rem, is it just a hint that there is Tchiyas HaMesim, because there are other ways that can be explained. So it's a hint. And then Shira is after that. That's right, yeah. Mm-hmm. So Moshe will sing in the future, but this song will also be there. And others say that it means, but there are other ways to interpret it. I'm just speaking within an asmachta, with something that might be consistent with another issue in the Gemara, that in the future we're not going to forget about Yitzias Mitzrayim either. So it could be even when there will be a future in there, Tchiyas HaMesim, when Moshe will sing and he'll come back to life, it'll be this Shira, he'll also sing. Sing. Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it doesn't say sorry,
or it's not a sincere apology.
Well, does that mean you could you bear a grudge? Would you be allowed to bear a grudge?
Well, we try not to bear grudges anyway. Yeah. The issur of bearing a grudge is even if a person didn't ask for forgiveness.
Oh, you're not allowed to?
Yeah. Not to bear a grudge would mean not to do something that potentially would be avenging the person or harming the person.
Yeah.
Because you have a hard feeling.
Oh, so you're not allowed to have a feeling.
But if the person did an avera, it's permitted to dislike him because of the avera, as long as you know how to curtail it and not make it personal.
Not to make it personal, right.
So, yeah, like, even by Yosef's brothers, it said they despised him, but it meant they felt according to halacha they were allowed to despise him because he was in violation. That I base on Rabbi Yonis and Abishitz in Rishon Mishpat in the Tumim. He says that a sone, it says, is possible to give testimony if it's a personal animosity. But if it's because you feel the person did something wrong, that's not the type of animosity that disqualifies you from being a witness about somebody.
Oh, I see. Wow, that's fascinating.
So that's where I got it from.
Thank you so much.
So what you do for Shemosh Rabba and the rest of the Rabbas, what Teyadr Albek did for Brishis. You know the work? With Teyadr Albek, edition of Brishis Rabba. It's a monument, the Yekesh scholarship, with every good source, every parallel passage, and the footnotes.
Somebody different, I think.
It was started by Teyadr, who was the Midrash Rabbanim, the Orthodox Rabbinic Emperor of Berlin, and then Albek finished it.
Yes.
But it's very meticulous Yekesh scholarship.
Yeah. They had the early Torah who knew how to combine that type of scholarship with the real learning.
The last of them was Rabbi Zvi Hoffman.
That's right. Yeah, the really big ones. Also, a little bit he had in his after that. He took his place with Rabbi Yehuda Weinberg.
He was from the Talmud. Yeah.
Yeah.